Tereo Ererangi o Te Mania. This episode was produced in Otatahi by Plains Media, with support from New Zealand On Air.
Next up, Himasha and Ranmali celebrate Sri Lankan culture and music.
I Bowan Canterbury. Me Elemenho Ravi. Plains Femose. Obehadavatar Sami Pavane. Sri Lankitwe.
Deshe Abimane. Sampradaya Saha Kala Vasamaki. Obahai Gwena Mama. Himasha Gunasekara.
Mama Ranmali Egodagamagi.
Aibowan Canterbury.
Onetin October maase Aibowan Canterbury wedasaranath ekka tamai ada api oyalawa hamba wenna ewilla inne. Eden Ranmali mata hita ganna ba October maase rat api ewilla kiyala.
Ohwane. Eka thama den api denna metana katha wenukota October kiyanne den me avuruddat iwara ma hitan me avurudda tamai ikmanimma giya avuruddak
api denna katha wela giyane maasa 10ak iwaruna kiyala
hita gannat ba. Ma hitan ape me avurudda purawatama api වෙනස් වෙනස් විදිහකට අලුත් අපේ ගෙස්ලා හිටියා මං හිතන්නේ. ආයෙත් අපි විවිධ ටොපික්ස් ගැන කතා කරා.
ඔව් මං හිතන්නේ ලාස්ට් මන්ත් එපිසෝඩ් එක ගැන කතා කරොත් එහෙම බ්‍රැනමන් ඥානලිංගම් එක අපි ඒ කරපු ඩිස්කෂන් එක හරිම ඉම්ප්‍රෙසිව් කන්වර්සේෂන් එකක් වුණා. ඒ කියන්නේ ඒත් එක්කම අතත් තව අපුරු අමතෙක් එක අපි අපේ ස්ටුඩියෝ එකට ඇවිල්ලා ඉන්නවා. I think api henan den api language switch karma ne. So we have a very special guest with us today. Please welcome Sharon Gardiner to Aibowan Canterbury program today. Talking about Sharon, so Sharon is a provisional member of New Zealand Association of Counselors and hold an international qualification in clinical psychology and a New Zealand postgraduate certificate in counseling, specializing in solution-focused therapy. She's not just a therapist. She's also a mom to two kids and a loving wife. And she's passionate about child and youth well-being, mental well-being, parenting, and multicultural perspectives on holistic health. So, Sharon, welcome to Aibowan Canterbury.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Absolutely. I think it's so suitable that we're talking about this month.
Yeah.
Especially last week being the mental health week,
yes.
I think. Yeah.
So, mental health awareness week.
Awareness week. Sorry. Yeah. I should have mentioned that properly. Yeah. But yeah, I think it's pretty good that we got
perfect
Sharon
timing.
With us.
Yeah. Perfect timing. Absolutely. For this conversation. So thank you, Sharon, for joining with us today. So before we move into the questions, I would like you to do a brief introduction about yourself, because I'm pretty sure our listeners are so keen to know a little bit more about you.
Mm-hmm. All right. I studied in India. I was born and brought up in a very busy, beautiful city called Mumbai. Mm-hmm. And I've done a lot of pretty academic work there. They push you hard. I think you'd know that coming from...
I know. Oh, a lot of South Asian parents, they push you.
So,
always.
So that was great. And then I moved over in about 10 years ago. I met my husband in Wellington. And in a year's time, we were married. And he's Kiwi and I was here. And yeah, life changed dramatically, pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And so I spent the next 5 or 6 years working in research. And then I got into youth research. And finally, I had kids. And in the middle of all of that, also wanting to just do justice to my study back home. And
right.
So, which was in clinical psychology. And so... found a way to work with using my knowledge and my skills by registering as a counselor here. So that was great, and I know that there's a big need with a lot of communities like ours that...
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, that
there's a big need, and like, honestly, some people even doesn't know that they need mm-hmm. help. And mm-hmm. I think that's the purpose of this conversation today, to get people to think about what they are going through and mm-hmm. ask for support, like, if they need it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, Sharon, my first question for you. So we know mental health is a term that we've been using all around now, especially in the last few decades. We've been talking about it a lot more, and even in the younger community as well. So why don't we just, can you elaborate more on what mental health really is? Not just the term that we know, mental illness or the negative sides of mental health, but holistically, what does it really mean?
Yeah, thanks. So really, as you said, holistically, mental health really involves well-being, not just with your emotions, not just with your thinking and the psychology about your beliefs, but also with your social well-being and how you connect in communities and how you receive and reciprocate that connection with other people. So really, holistically, it means so much more than just an absence of or an illness, as the term has unfortunately come to mean, oh, we've got mental health problems. Or,
I know.
And there's all these negative connotations with mental health. But really, to flip it around, mental health is really just well-being and connection and good thoughts and good beliefs about yourself and just being able to regulate your emotions. And we all go through lots of different emotions, some hard ones, which we sometimes tend to avoid and suppress. But really, when you are mentally healthy, you are able to able to process that much better.
I think that's a beautiful explanation, because I feel like we only know some of those terms and some of the positives and some of the negatives. But as a whole, when listening to that, I feel like that would be really good. And just to start with the term.
Anyways, I mean, like, as when I grew up, like, when someone says mental health issue, it's been always considered as taboo. And I used to believe, like, when you have a mental health, you need to take medication and stuff. Yeah. But it's much more than that. Like, all of us probably at some stage of life have gone through, you know,
ups and downs.
And I really hope that in some way that this conversation just helps to normalize things in communities, that it's we all go through these things. We really, all of us go through it. And it's okay to really ask for help. It's okay to just stop and say, okay, I'm having a rough time right now, and it's completely fine, you know.
I think especially the migrant community, like being away from home for so long and getting used to a new country. And even if you have been living in a new country for decades, sometimes you still miss your roots. And that can cause issues when it comes to your mental health or your mental well-being, and you're figuring out your life in a new land. And those immigrants might be having like whole different level of mental health challenges comparing to other people. I think that's one of the purposes of this program, to sort of specifically focus about immigrant community and common challenges for them.
And I think there's this really beautiful picture I saw, but this was in a different context. But you can really apply it to us as immigrants and to all the struggles that we have, really, is a race, and you have people starting at the start line and they can be mentally healthy. And then for some of us as immigrants, we start way before the start line because we've got financial issues, we've got issues with leaving our communities, leaving our support systems. We are figuring out things in a new land. We are figuring out new systems. Some of us don't know how to drive. And I can just go on and on and on about the different issues that we face. So really that pushes us way back on that race line. And so if we don't have the same start, we're definitely not going to be finishing at the same time, you know?
Yeah. So Sharon, talking about common struggles among immigrants, do you see like common mental health issues among immigrants? Like as a professional counselor, I'm pretty sure you have heaps of experience working with immigrants and you have noticed like probably some special kind of challenges to their mental well-being. So would you like to talk about it a bit more?
Sure. So I just became a provisional member last year of the association. And but just as a psychologist who's been trained in India and been living here for the last 10 years and most of my interactions are with immigrant communities and immigrant people. Mm-hmm. So really just from that experience, I can say that there's so many struggles. Mm-hmm. Really, one of the biggest ones is just a loss of connection and support from their community.
Mm-hmm. And their safety networks.
Yes, the safety networks that sort of kept them going in their home countries. And so that plays a big role. And also a big part of well-being is feeling connected, is feeling like you belong, is feeling like you can contribute.
Yeah.
And so another big area is just a loss of, just figuring out new systems can take a lot of time.
That is true.
And can cause stress and anxiety and figuring out banking and bus systems and, you know, just...
Yeah, we think it might be so simple that, we should be able to figure this out. But that small thing actually can have a big impact on your day-to-day life. I know this for a fact. Like, we think, just figuring out a bus system or, like you said, it's just... maybe affect your whole day-to-day life. So, very important,
You know, and there's this sense of grief, you know, and it's not a grief for losing somebody, like somebody died, but it's a grief of losing...
Losing who you are, the life you had back home. The food, the people you love, way you used to live, the way you used to commute, and, you know, I think pretty much everything.
Especially, I think Asians, was like South Asians, we are very connected with our community. We are interdependent. But here, we are much more of an individualistic culture. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think I remember learning this about like how us or like some of the African communities, like how they're very connected to like big parts, like big extended families and stuff. But when we move here, that whole system's just cut off and we are just left with one branch. Literally the branch that you are on, and you don't have any of the other leaves or anything else. Something really big for our communities as well.
Yeah, definitely. And there's also a redefining of who you are. And that's a process. You know, it takes a while to figure out who you are. And I'm no longer this person. Okay, maybe I had those values and how do I integrate those values in my life right now? And and so there's quite a lot going on for
us. I think it hit differently depending on what age you are also.
That's true.
I think Ranmali moved here like when you were a teenage.
Yeah.
And I moved here like when in my like late 20s or something.
Yeah.
So like, I was a professional in back home, and all of a sudden I came here as a student, and everyone was, you know, treating you as a student, and like that, you know, change of mentality and getting used to things,
and I've met
and learning things.
I think I've met so many professional immigrants, and it just shocks me to say that, like, wow, the caliber and just the talent and you know, just the potential that they have. And in some ways, I think figuring out a way to fit into society here is, what do you say about that, Himasha? You're smiling.
It was a big challenge, and it is, and I'm still getting there, to be honest.
Yeah, I've seen my mom do it too. So, like, she came here when she was in her 40s. So, like, we know after 30s, 40s, we are pretty set with mindsets and I'm being frank
very well established,
well established. You have your
life
way
and
of thinking. Like for me, it was much easier to change, but I've seen how my mom handled it, and she had me to handle as well. So I remember, like, even I think those days racism was little bit we have to bring it up as well, because
let's have some tough conversation.
So like you don't, you can feel it, you don't have to say anything, one's
saying anything,
it's very
subtle in
it's very subtle, but you can see it, you can see from the way they look at you, and from starting from the looks, you start to question everything and like, how do I fit in? I think that's really something people still, I know for a fact, people who've lived here far longer than me, immigrants, they're still afraid or like still kind of get set back when ever like white people come up to you and like ask a question, they like hide this. They've lived here for more than 10-20 years, but they still do it. I feel like that's like a factory setting, you know, like to defend ourselves.
And there's studies to prove this, not just based in New Zealand, but studies in America as well about how the if you've experienced racism and you've just got your defenses up, right?
All the time.
And that takes a toll on people. It does take a toll in the long run. So all these things sort of add up. They do. They stack up and they contribute to a bigger picture of just well-being issues among in our communities.
Should we go to the next question or go for a song?
I thought we should go for a song. I feel like for the listeners, it could be a little bit more heavy. I don't know.
Okay, let's do that.
We've been talking for 15 minutes.
Perfect. Let's do that.
Let's go for a song.
ही जाने तू क्या सोचता है बावरे क्यों दिखाए सपने तू सोते जागते जो बरसे सपने बूंद बूंद नैनों को मूंद मूंद जो बरसे सपने बूंद बूंद नैनों को मूंद बूंद कैसे मैं चलू देख ना सकू अनजान रास्ते
And we are back after a very long conversation and yet to there's more to go, and we're very excited to keep going. And Sharon, yes.
Yeah, can I just say that I think some of what we're saying is can really touch home for people listening.
Yeah.
And it might really bring up some pretty strong emotions. So so really look after yourself.
Yeah.
And if you're finding it too much, take a break.
Yeah.
Yeah, and have a cup of tea. go look after yourself or have a talk with somebody. And we will be giving you some resources at the end of this podcast. So so keep listening till the end. If you need to get in touch with somebody, there's help and there's people around to help you on your journey.
Thank you, Sharon. I feel like that's something that's very important, that keep reminding them, just to simple as that, just taking a break.
Taking a break, have a cup of tea.
Very important. Anyway, so we've been talking a lot about different challenges that we face, well, immigrants face when they move here. So I think parenting comes as one of the top ones that we've seen. So can we talk a little bit about that? Like how, what are some of the biggest clashes between traditional values and Western perspectives that we have to, like, people try to combine, especially for young children, I think. Parents struggle a lot.
Definitely. So I think you said it really beautifully earlier, that once you start, you're a parent, you're in your 30s, your 40s, and you have some of your values set. They're pretty set, and it's hard to say, oh gosh, my values are set now. If I change this, I'm changing who I am, and it can be a really scary thing. So really just starting with parents first, you know, before we get to the kids, some of us really know the struggle. The struggle is real, and figuring out your values is so important, and figuring out what you want, how you want to raise your children in a new country is really important, and it's some internal work that if you do well, and many parents I've seen who do it beautifully, it just helps your kids so much, and it cuts the edge off for them, because there is a tug of war.
It is
a tug of war between collectivistic culture, collectivistic values that really respect the whole community, versus kids who are growing up in a very individualistic culture, and they may want to adapt some of those values for themselves, and there's nothing wrong with that.
But
I think that's where the clash happens.
And how do we hold space for that tension? And so really for parents to know that we know what you're going through. As a parent, I know what you're going through, you know, but there's lots of beautiful examples. I know that often we want to look at examples of really famous people and, who've done lots of great things. But I see fantastic examples just in the community. In the community, if you look around, you will see some really beautiful examples of parents living out their values and raising their kids to live life in New Zealand. So really just being curious, being open, trying as much as you can to be non-judgmental with your young people, with your children. And just having space and having mental health as well can be a taboo subject, can be quite hard. And I think with mobile phones right now, with our younger generation, they know so much about mental health. They really will come into sessions and tell you exactly what they have. I'm diagnosed with this. You know, I have this. And they will tell you exactly all these technical terms. And sometimes parents have no clue. You know, so there's this gap. And it's such a beautiful opportunity for parents to say, tell me, what do you mean by that? You know, what do you mean by that? And how does that work for you? And really just being...
opening that conversation.
And it's so vital, I think, for both. Because parents do not want to lose the connection with their with their children and their young people. They don't. And young people and children need their parents. So it really is, it's really important for both.
So what you mean is like take a balanced approach rather stuck on a traditional parenting role or a much more like westernized parenting style.
Mm.
Sort of like stand in a way that you take what you want and you create your own values and you do what is appropriate for your situation sort of parenting style, is it?
I don't want to put anything down in concrete and say this is yeah. what yeah. I say. Because it will differ for everybody.
Mm.
Everyone will have a different take on this. Mm. And challenging traditional values, which are sort of, I mean, just imagine trying to shake a building that's stuck in stone.
Mm.
You know, it's mm-hmm. hard work and really... But then you have to really look at the consequences of being very, very strict and hard and mm. very traditional. Are you losing the connection with your child and your mm. young person?
Mm.
Are you losing that sense of family, of mm. community? And when you if you think you are, then yeah, there's some questions you yeah. need to ask yourself about, do I really have to be so set and so stuck in yeah. this mm. way?
Mm.
And how in some ways can I adapt this really beautiful value mm. of traditional, you know, community and of togetherness? How can I embody it and also just imbibe it in my parenting with my child?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's some questions to be asked, yeah. and for everyone, it's going to be so different.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think it's really starting within yourself and asking those questions and opening that up to your kids, and like making that bridge, I guess. Because something that we lack in our community is the communication that we have with our kids, the mm. children,
yeah.
or like even yeah. ourselves within the partners. They mm-hmm. don't share how they feel, or like they think, oh, that's something to be ashamed of. They shouldn't know what I'm feeling. Mm. Oh, it's my partner. Like, I should look strong, especially for men, I think.
Yes,
yes.
In our culture, they are, I mean,
men are not supposed to cry.
You're not supposed yeah. to cry, though. Definitely. The egocentric and all that terms yeah. coming up.
Yeah, and but, women yeah. are supposed to sacrifice. You
that's
know?
True. So, yeah, yeah. You know, women yeah. do all the work and
yeah.
yeah. yeah.
And so, yeah, yeah. So challenging really, some of those, yeah. those stereotypes. Mm. And
yeah,
really.
I think for women, it gets harder because once you're immigrant, there's a 90% chance that both of you would work because you need more money to settle in a new country and you have lots of other
yeah.
societal expectations mm. coming. You want to buy a new house, you yeah. want to send your kids to good schools and yes. you need to, you know,
yeah, that's the other thing
drive
I was
a certain type
say.
Of car
yeah.
and all these expectations coming.
Yes.
And
yes. I think, I think we also have a very set of expectations that's coming within as well from the community. Yeah. Like, oh, mm. you have to have a certain degree. You have to mm. certain job. I feel like some of that gets carried over here as well.
Yeah.
And I think really shifting that expectations, mm. those yeah. expectations to match with your kid or even yourself. Like, yeah. I feel like that would really ease some of the pressure that people yeah. go through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. yeah you
course.
Said it beautifully. I'm sure some of your young friends might be feeling that.
Yeah. Because I know like yeah. some of them, they don't want to share with their parents and they just come up to you and they talk, especially some of the older kids. And mm. it's so surprising to know like, oh, they actually think of you as someone to open up, and then that's yeah. beautiful. So I would really love to see that from their own parents and their families.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
because that would really make a big difference for their confidence. Like they're building up, they're making their foundation. So I feel like that's really important that we talk it out.
Yeah, that's yeah. great. And you yeah. as a young person, I think, is like a great example that, you know, we've got other young people like you to open up to. Because your experiences are very similar, right?
Yeah.
You're growing
yeah.
up in... And so there are other avenues of sort of expressing yourself.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You don't have to, if it's not coming
yeah.
from one area, then
yeah.
look at other ways where your mm-hmm. feelings can be validated
mm-hmm.
And just yourself as an individual can be, you know, just affirmed that,
yeah,
hey,
yeah.
you know, it's okay.
Yeah.
We're all going through
absolutely.
This, you know, like, yeah.
yeah,
yeah.
One
yeah.
way or another.
So yeah. as we are directing our conversation, talking about young people.
Mm-hmm.
So have you noticed any specific challenges among youth when it comes to their mental well-being and challenges, specifically among the immigrant youth population?
Yeah. I think some of the recent studies, you know, that have been done in New Zealand with Asian young people really highlight the family pressure that you were talking about earlier, just with academics and with really pushing them to succeed. And and sometimes it's a completely different education system.
Yes.
You know, it's so different. But and really it might take a while for kids and young people to figure it out. But they do feel that pressure from parents. Racism and discrimination has come up in some of these studies, and I can link them in and I can give it to you first for show notes. But yes, that's an issue with our communities, that they are facing this in schools and in other areas where they do feel left out. There's an identity crisis that comes, and the stage with young people anyways is figuring out who they are. And so am I New Zealander, or am I Sri Lankan, or am I a bit of both, or like who am I?
Of course, and having all these physical differences, you have a different
color
of hair, and your skin color is different. Probably you have a little bit of accent. So.
Exactly, and so when you are with Kiwis, you think I'm not Kiwi enough. But you are, when you are with Sri Lankans, you're like, I'm not Sri Lankan enough. So where am I? You know, but you're in this beautiful space in between, you know? And so those are some like of the main issues. There's anxiety, there's depression, there's really a lot of stress, and unfortunately they are the community in these schools, they are the ones who don't reach out for help. The ones who need it, but they don't reach out for help. And some of it probably is that stigma. And, you know, is it okay if I speak to the school counselor? Or what are people going to think of me? And or what if they tell my mom and dad? And, you know, so I'm sure they...
Do you think they have adequate support, like in school level, if they want to talk about such things, the challenges that they are going through?
I know that most high schools have a high school counselor, and so universities as well have counseling support. And then primary schools have a service that comes in that helps them out with, and most of the issues are dealt with a service called Manaake.
Okay.
So there are really services out there, but sometimes really to speak to our cultural needs, I'm not so sure about that.
So when it comes to like younger kids, like the primary level kids, probably they have no idea, you know, what's going inside their brain. So what can we do for themselves? Like, how can we help them to overcome such kind of like identical issues, like figuring out who they are and their Sri Lankan roots and how they can fit into Kiwi society and things like that?
I think for the most part of it, a lot of them are doing really well, you know. So just remembering that as you said, it's not in the focus of their awareness at the moment when they're younger. And so They're just happy.
They just grow up.
They go to school. You know, and most other young little kids are like, oh, let's go have a play and let's play together. And if there are chances, and I've heard of stories where they are teased for how they look, or like, you know, the brown kid, or, you know, the, really just bringing it up with the teacher. You know, because there's protocols in place for schools. And, this kind, I mean, there are ways where schools deal with these issues. But really on a personal level as a parent, they might want to talk to you about it at home, you know, and say, oh, you know what, mom, somebody call me this brown kid, or, you know, they call me like a brown potato at school, you know. And these are stories I've heard, you know. And of course, it's going to hurt you as a parent.
Of course. It's going to hurt you for sure.
It's definitely going to affect you. So tending to yourself as a parent before we tend to our kids, and affirming their worth and saying, you know, what are you as a person, and what are your strengths, and what are, and this is what we look at you, and we think you're so beautiful, and you know, these are your strengths. So just remembering that is one way to help them to feel so good about themselves that all of this just is falls off their back. You know, yeah, but I do not want to condone it in any way. It's not saying there are protocols in place. If it gets really bad, please go and make a complaint to the school, and they will have ways to deal with it.
How about we go for another song before the next question?
Yeah, I think so. It's a good time, right? All right. We'll be back.
कुछ पाने की हो आस आस कोई अरमा हो जो खास खास आशाएं हर कोशिश में हो बार बार करे दरियाओं को आर पार आशाएं तूफानों को चीर के मंजिलों को छीन ले
back with Sharon, our lovely guest today. We're talking about mental health. So Sharon, we've talked a lot. Like we covered so much that could really important that I don't think we don't bring it as much as we should. And it's really good that we've brought it up. And so how about we jump into women's mental health? Now, we're talking about youth, everyone in general, immigrants in general. I think women, we are facing so many unique challenges as immigrants or as just as a woman of any culture, any color. As a mother, we have so many roles going on. So can we talk about some of those challenges, the specific mental health challenges that women face?
I guess as women, a big thing that comes up is just our roles and just the juggle.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't just pertain only to parenting. I think even just young women they come out here and then they are pressured to get jobs and study well and then send money back home. Mm-hmm. And that's a reality for a lot of immigrants, immigrant young women. Mm-hmm. There's issues to, there's also pressures around getting married and partners. And sometimes there's a clash of values there, you know, of young women wanting something else than what traditional values would say.
Yep.
There's issues that come out around that. Mm-hmm. But issues around work. So when you come, and I think I mentioned before, there's a lot of professional immigrant women here, really talented.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm. Physiotherapists, general practitioners, doctors, you know, just the more I meet people, the more I'm just amazed at the caliber that, and then there's that loss and sense of what do I do now here. Mm-hmm. And then there's others who also maybe would have been in a much more traditional role if they were in back home in Sri Lanka and been parenting, but here they're forced to have a job to make ends meet and so quite a big broad range of issues, really. And then there's also other really serious mental health issues that come up with women, around their cycles and things. So a lot going on.
I think it's very important, especially now the gender roles have changed.
Mm.
And in a country like this, I feel like for immigrant women, it might be, I mean, good and bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Your husband's picking up like some of the female, you know, like roles that we've known to grow up with, or like doing laundry or as like simple as that, and then just sharing that, but also some of the hard stuff, earning or like going to work.
And often, unfortunately, in some of our societies, that heavy mental load falls on women. And this is not a generalization and it's not bashing men at all, but for a large majority of women from our cultures, the looking after the home falls on us. Mm-hmm. And then we also have to work. And so it really is quite a lot, you know, to juggle. And another issue, I guess, that came up, that comes up, and this is a trigger warning, so is sexual violence and family violence as well. So and women suffer in silence because it is not considered okay to tell on your husband or to and not just within the family but within the culture as well sometimes.
And sometimes the families are about to fall apart, but sometimes they hold on because of children, thinking that it's going to make a better future for their children. But I think actually it's going to make it worse for their children.
It's a tricky one. A lot of women do hold on and they hold on, and the real message I would like to give out is that there's help available. You know, so, and you don't have to do it alone. And sometimes there is that really big cultural barrier of, should I reach out or what am I doing? And unfortunately, sometimes women are also ostracized for reaching out, you know.
Yep.
And so it's hard. It's a hard one, really. But there's help and there's beautiful organizations available.
Yeah.
Aviva is one, and then there's the Shakti helpline that helps with sexual violence for specifically to our communities. And then so there are helplines, even if you just want to talk, you don't have to go and do anything.
Yeah.
You know, even if you just want to say, look, this is happening, I just need to talk about it, you know.
I mean, it's really good that some confidential support is available for one. Yeah. Like, you don't have to make it, you know, in person there, but you can always seek support online or over the phone, which is still very convenient.
And it also could be a bit isolating because you've left your actual support back home, you know.
So
who do I tell about these things? Yeah. So there is help. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Sharon, like, for anyone who might be struggling silently, what are some of the biggest barriers that stopping people to reach out for help?
Yeah. I think one really big barrier in our communities is just the stigma around mental health issues and, you know, about anxiety and depression and having a diagnosis or even just admitting it for yourself. It can be a pretty big thing.
Yeah.
So stigma is really big.
Yeah.
And I would say it's getting better because I think the younger generation now is...
That's what I was just going to say. Yeah.
They're really onto it.
They're really onto it.
Yeah. They're super... Yeah. They're fantastic in that sense. Yeah. And I'm hoping they can offer a sort of, here's a rope. Come on, I'm going to help you. I'll be the young
very
person.
Very self-aware as well.
They are so self-aware and just really so knowledgeable about a lot of things, including neurodiversity now, including just anxiety and depression. Yeah. And so there's hope, in that sense.
Absolutely.
That it's changing. The narrative is changing, definitely. But that's one big barrier. Mm. There's barriers of language and culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who do I speak to who will understand me? There's barriers of just the finance around it and wondering, should I pay for professional health? This doesn't seem right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a cultural thing added on to that too, because like culturally in our South Asian cultures, we wouldn't pay for a therapist we would always talk to a friend or we would always talk to one of our family members when it comes to, mental health or not having, proper mood. But
there's a lot of value in talking to a friend and a family member, but when it's completely different
when it's a
when you actually have to go to somebody non-objective who really helps you to manage the thoughts that are stopping you and hooking you onto.
Especially like in your circumstances as an immigrant, sometimes your family in back home wouldn't understand like the life you have here. So their opinions might not
They'll be biased as well. Absolutely.
No, definitely. Yeah. So that's another sort of barrier as well. Yeah. Mm. There's also stuff about just, logistical barriers sometimes of I don't drive. Where do I go for support?
How do I get there? Yeah. I can't tell. That's a good one.
I worked in a research project where the participants couldn't get to the GP. So how do they access medical health?
Mm.
You know, there's just geographical barriers. Mm. And some of us are in remote places. So, quite a few.
There's all sorts.
Interesting conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. I really hope whoever's listening to this is a good, starting, if you're starting out thinking about talking out to someone, I feel like this would be, I'm sure we're helping in some way. I hope we're helping in some way.
I mean, it's important to talk to someone if you feel like you need to talk to someone and you need help. Don't keep it for yourself suffer.
Yeah.
And there's also a lot of really wonderful free resources out there. So
Because a lot of people think having a therapist or having some sort of counseling or professional support can be really, really expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. And it's a cost that maybe people can't afford, So, there's a lot of really good resources available that you can tap into and see, talking about anxiety, about depression, about all the main big mental health issues. So You can, and there are free health lines as well. So Anxiety New Zealand has a free health line that you can call. Then you also have the 1737 number that you can text. Mm-hmm. So we'll give you a list.
Yeah.
There's Asian Family Services to help specifically with those speaking Hindi, for example, so you can access a counselor with your own language.
Mm.
And then there's other counselors, but in other parts of New Zealand as well, who offer services in different languages. So really, you're being able to reach out,
mm-hmm.
but reaching out to maybe wonderful people like you, who, you know, who will be able to just guide people. Sometimes it is a maze.
Yeah.
It's a maze.
I think we can link all the free support
absolutely
with our podcast.
Yeah.
So anyone
mm-hmm.
who's keen or anyone who wants to seek
absolutely.
For help. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
So thank you so much, Sharon, for sharing your insight, your compassion and wisdom with us today.
Mm-hmm.
We have covered many important themes like unique challenges among immigrant families, women, youth, and some sort of like common barriers why some people are not seeking, you know, professional support. And we have also given, you know, other alternatives for them to like seek for like free support and stuff.
Yes.
What really stand out is the reminder that mental health is not just about surviving.
Mm.
It's about finding balance, belongingness, and the courage to ask help when it's needed. To everyone listening, hope this conversation sparked more open and honest talks in your homes, schools, or communities about mental health well-being.
Mm-hmm.
So let's keep normalizing, talking about, you know, mental health well-being and breaking the silence and seek for support when it's needed. So if you're someone who's struggling, please reach out to support, and we have linked some of the free supports with our podcast description here today.
Yeah.
So thanks again, Sharon.
Thank you so much. It's been a very interesting and very useful
conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's great. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks again. And important question. So as a professional counselor, if anyone wants to reach out to you, would you like to mention how people can reach out to you?
Yes,
for
definitely.
Support?
I think I can leave you some links and information.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. So we had Sharon Gardner, a professional counselor with us today at IBO1 Canterbury studio today. And hopefully this has been a very useful conversation for all of our listeners. And I think, Ranmali, it's time to go.
Yeah. Well, we'll hope to see you all next month.
Next month,
yeah.
So that's going to be our last episode before the Christmas one.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Look at the year.
Yeah, I feel like we did 2024 Christmas episode like it was like yesterday.
Few months ago.
Yeah.
I know. It's crazy. Anyways, well, it's a good year.
Yeah. Let's catch up in next month.
Yep.
I'm Himasha Gunasekara.
I'm Ranmali Godagamage.
Bye. anjaan